This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello there, this is Paul O'Higgins with today's Great Invitation. The Great Invitation goes out from the enormous loving heart of God to everyone who will respond to his invitation to be reconciled and transformed by his work and by his grace. Today we're going to look on the most wonderful subject of Jesus, the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, who dispenses the Holy Spirit abundantly into the hearts of those who will receive the Holy Spirit. Of course, he won't force the Holy Spirit on us. He invites us to receive the Holy Spirit, to welcome the Holy Spirit, to hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit. All four Gospels begin with describing Jesus as the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Thus, this ministry of Jesus, though sometimes neglected in the church, is the central core of his ministry. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, we'll just go now and we'll show how all four Gospels describe Jesus as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me," that's Jesus, "is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Mark's Gospel begins with the same statement of John. "I indeed baptize you with water," that's John speaking, "but he," that's Jesus, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." That's the ministry of Jesus, is to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Then in Luke's Gospel 3:16, we're all familiar with John 3:16. We should be equally familiar with Luke 3:16. John answered, saying to all who came to him, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." That's the ministry of Jesus. Then John's Gospel begins with the same statement. We read this in John 1, verse 29 and verse 33. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" So the Gospels are very, very clear. The core ministry of Jesus is to baptize with the Holy Spirit. John describes Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Yet much of the church has gone with just half the message of Jesus, the Lamb of God, without teaching Jesus, baptizer with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, we read that when Paul went to Ephesus for the first time, he asked the people there, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And astonishingly, they replied, "We never even heard of the Holy Spirit." Now, in no place in the body of Christ today have the people not heard of the Holy Spirit, but in many places they've heard very, very little about the Holy Spirit's work to fill us with the life of Jesus and to anoint us to begin to do the works of Jesus and to proclaim him boldly under the unction of his power. On the day of the resurrection, we read that Jesus, it's recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 20, he showed himself alive to his disciples and he said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he breathed on them. At that moment, they were born again because he had breathed on them and they'd received the Holy Spirit. Yet we find that 40 days later, as he was ascending into heaven, he said to them to wait in Jerusalem until they be clothed with power from on high. And then, as Jesus was departing, he said to them, his disciples, "And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but stay in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Thus Jesus' parting words to his disciples was to wait until in Jerusalem until they be clothed with power from on high. Very important. We know then that they returned to Jerusalem and waited some time, a period of days, until the day of Pentecost had come. And then on the day of Pentecost, something tremendous happened to the disciples. As they waited in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit came upon them in a mighty way. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we have read that on the day of the resurrection, Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came into them as their new principle for living, to replace the Adamic nature with the Jesus nature, the life of Jesus within. Nevertheless, 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, they were waiting in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come upon them with power to anoint them for their ministry of bringing the gospel to the ends of the earth. And when Peter, leaving the upper room, spoke to the Jewish people assembled, crowds of Jewish people up in Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of Pentecost, Peter spoke to them because they were all heard the sound of the rushing mighty wind, and they went to see what had happened. And these people speaking in tongues, Peter then began to speak to those people in their own, in the Hebrew language. And he began to say to them that this is the fulfillment of that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And even on my maidservants will I pour out my Spirit on those days, and they shall all prophesy. And then many responded, and 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus Christ and were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this promise is for all generations, for you and for those who are far off, unto all generations. This gift and promise and bequest of the Holy Spirit is for people of every generation. As we are living now at the end of the age, in the time just before the coming of the Lord, of course we don't know exactly when the Lord is returning, we know that the gospel of the kingdom of God, that's the rule of Jesus, is going to go to every nation. And to do this, we who have received Jesus as Savior must turn to him and ask him to clothe us with power to proclaim his gospel with boldness and clarity. Now, each one of us have a different calling. One of us have a different place and a different direction and a different field to operate in. But all of us, if we're to serve the Lord in the fullness of the power that he has for us, we must turn to the Lord and ask him to clothe us with power from on high. In many places in the church today, there's a fear of talking too much about the Holy Spirit. I don't really understand it. I think that anyone who hears that this gift of the Holy Spirit that came upon the disciples on that day of Pentecost, when Peter invited all to receive it, and Paul later going to Ephesus, urged them, asked them, had they received the Holy Spirit? And we know as the gospel went out among the Gentiles, the Gentiles also, as they received the Holy Spirit, they also began to speak in tongues. Jesus had said, as is recorded in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will expel demons, they will speak in tongues, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, this is the eternal ministry of Jesus. Hebrews says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't ceased from his ministry of being the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. But much of the church has neglected this part of his ministry. I'm not saying they're denying it, but they've neglected it. And we see in the experience of the disciples that they received the Holy Spirit in two separate experiences. On the day of the resurrection, they were born again when Jesus breathed his Spirit into them, and when they received the testimony of the forgiveness of their sins. But on the day of Pentecost, as they were waiting to be clothed with power to proclaim the gospel in the full power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit came upon them. We see it in the life of Jesus himself, who of course always had the divine nature. He didn't need to be born again. But when he was 30 years old, he presented himself before his Father to do his ministry, and the Spirit came upon him, and the heavens were opened unto them, and from then on he was led by the Holy Spirit. And we read that after his temptation in the wilderness, he returned into Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. John's Gospel, chapter 14, tells us this, that the works that I do, you shall do also. That's the body of Christ. And greater works than these will you do, because I go to the Father. In these days, Jesus wants to anoint the entire body of Christ, who will present themselves for his purposes with the power of the Holy Spirit, and each one of us to be anointed to do our particular task in the body of Christ. Perhaps you belong to a denomination which doesn't speak about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, although almost every denomination welcomes the baptism in the Holy Spirit at this late stage in history. But there are some places where they fear to speak about this, and they fear to speak about the gift of tongues. Some say that this gift isn't for today. But we know it's a matter of statistical knowledge that there are almost 1 billion Christians worldwide who speak in tongues today. So the gift of tongues, it's not ecstatic speaking, it's your prayer language. It's given for your communication with God. Paul says, I will pray with my understanding, and I will pray with my spirit. And when we pray in the spirit, or pray in tongues, or pray in God's heart, and we can pray in tongues, it lifts us beyond the limit of the censorship of our minds into realms where we're speaking mysteries unto God. That's what Paul says. When we're in the church and we're preaching, we shouldn't preach in tongues. But Paul says, I'd rather preach one word in vernacular when I communicate with the understanding. But when we're praying to God, we can sustain lengthy prayer by beyond the limits of our thoughts by praying in the Spirit. That way we're filling our minds and our spirits with thoughts of the Spirit of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. It's a gateway gift into the supernatural. It says on the day of Pentecost, and they all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Later on in the book of Acts, where Peter went among the Gentiles and the Spirit fell upon the Romans in Caesarea, Cornelius the book and his friends, as Peter began to speak, the Holy Spirit came upon them. We need in today's culture and in today's world, we need the entire body of Christ to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, God won't force the Holy Spirit on us. He asks us to welcome the Holy Spirit. That's the invitation. Now, the response. Will you say to the Lord Jesus, I thank you for being my Savior. I now present myself to you. I want my life to be used by you, and I receive from you the power to proclaim you boldly. I do not have this power of myself. I ask that you will clothe me with the power of the Holy Spirit so that I can proclaim your word boldly to my generation. The Great Invitation is produced by Reconciliation Outreach and made possible by the partnership of listeners like you. To contact us, go to our website, www.reconciliationoutreach.net, and click on the contact button, or simply write to us, Paul and Nuala O'Higgins, P.O. Box 2778, Stuart, Florida 34995.
Perfect for business or pleasure, Pirates Cove Resort offers a peaceful getaway, giving you old Florida charm in a gorgeous contemporary setting. Elegant and comfortable, Pirates Cove Resort satisfies your yearning for a place away from demanding schedules. Family owned and operated, the staff of Pirates Cove Resort will joyfully provide for your needs while you relax and enjoy all of our amenities. For more information, we can be reached at 772-287-2500 or on our website, PiratesCoveResort.com.
Hi, this is Keith Masters sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. You've heard me share the transformation of my life that God has worked in me. So I thought I would share what God is doing in my life now and what that looks like. It all revolves around faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And that's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I, though, have sometimes a tendency to try to figure out what next week and next month and next year are going to look like. And all that results from those anxious thoughts is a year goes by and nothing has changed. For me to grow as a child of God, Jesus tells us, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And that's in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20b. So now in faith, I am believing in God and his word. The question becomes, though, for me, is what mountain do I want to move in my life? Or what mountain maybe do you want to move in your life? It could be alcoholism, it could be gambling, it could be pornography, it could be drug addiction, or maybe it could be problems in a marriage. God has removed the chains of addiction from me, and he wants to do the same for you. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And as again, as it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Creflo Dollar once said, faith-filled words will put you over. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And Pastor Bill Winston says, faith takes responsibility. So as the Lord speaks to me to strengthen my faith, what that looks like for me in the mountain that I'm going to be moving is that next year at this time, I will be speaking Spanish. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, walk by faith, not by sight. This is Keith Masters, a street witness sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
Hello, this is Joyce Meyer. You know, many people go through their Christian lives miserable, defeated, and depressed. But I want to show you how God's Word has given each of us joy and victory if we just live life in the Spirit. Join me right here every weekday and let me show you how you can truly start enjoying everyday life in Christ.
Enjoying Everyday Life with Joyce Meyer at 7:30 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Sacrifice of praise from the food of our Adonai, Atah HaGoel. Oh, Holy One of Israel. Oh, Adonai, Atah HaYovel. Bring your praises to God. Bring your offering to the Lord. He is worthy, He is worthy. Tell of Israel, bring your praises to Him. Bring your Yeshua, how long must we wait? Long God will see you sitting at your gate. As we wait in the sea, we are waiting for your return. We are crying for your return. Holy One, Holy One of Israel, Messiah.
Why you dreaming? Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. Every day you try to pick up all the pieces, all the memories that somehow never leave you. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows.
Of a faith worthy of esteem, who have lived their lives in service to Jesus Christ our King. But if you tried to lift them up, I know that you would find they would tell you thank you, but the glory is not mine. If there's anything that's good you see, it's Jesus who's alive in me. All praise to Him, all praise to Him. It is true humility and not a subtle pride that drives a fervent Christian to press toward.
The man of war, the Lord of hosts are you. Thy right hand, O God, is glorious in power.